The Drop by John Christopher.
After 3 months in the cramped quarters of a space freighter, it was good to be back on Mars, walking the solid pavements of Forbeston. I headed towards the Senior Officers' Club. Above me, the almost invisible plastic dome of the transparent bubble that contained our man-made atmosphere. Beyond that hung the purple velvet panorama of the Martian sky. And now that the sun was low on the horizon, it was becoming flecked with large bright stars. One of them, unwinking and tremendous, had a slight green tint to it. That was Earth. Or as most people often called it, the Forbidden World. The lobby of the club was the same as usual. Clusters of officers sitting around and chatting, a few pretty girls waiting for their dates, and the chief steward, Osborne, sat behind his desk.
Great to see you again, Captain Newsom. I was saying only yesterday to Wilson, my assistant, that you ought to be back any day now. Did you have a good trip, sir?
The usual. Sure, I'm glad to be back, though. Is my cousin Captain Gaines in his room?
Captain Gaines? Well, no, sir, he isn't. As a matter of fact, Captain Newsom, your cousin, is no longer staying at the club.
You mean he's finally moved to his place in the country?
Well, as to that I couldn't say, sir. He checked out of the club 2 months ago.
Then he must be at his country place. Call him on his transponder. The ID number is 3712.
Yes, sir. I'm afraid there's no answer, Captain.
Strange. It's not like Larry to clear off without leaving a message for me. Osborne, is anything wrong?
Wrong, sir?
Gaines was badly injured during his last Tycho voyage 10 months ago. He was recuperating here at the club. Are you trying to keep something from me?
No, sir. The Captain was in good health when he left.
And you don't know where he went?
Not at all, sir.
I see. I'm going into the dining room. While I'm having dinner, I want you to try and locate him. Check every possible place in town. Call central registration if necessary. I ordered dinner. While waiting for the first course, I puzzled over Osborne's behaviour. He was concealing something, but what and why? However, before I could give it more thought...
Hello, Newsom. Mind if I join you?
It was Matthews, skipper of the Firefly and one of Larry's closest friends. If anything had happened to him, he'd be sure to know about it. I told Matthews of my conversation with Osborne and my suspicion. He listened with a thin smile.
There's nothing suspicious in what you've said so far, Newsom. Aren't you jumping to conclusions?
Maybe I am. But on the other hand, why didn't Larry leave a message for me? And if he isn't at his cottage, where is he?
Perhaps he's out hunting.
Larry isn't strong enough to hunt. It's too soon after the accident.
Your nerves are jumping, Newsom. You've been out in space too long.
Maybe so. But I still think something's wrong.
Forget it. By the way, what run are you on these days?
Venus to Mercury.
That used to be my run 5 years ago. Still touch at the moon for refueling?
Yes, at Clark's Point.
They've got a pretty good telescope at Clark's Point Observatory. Strong enough to get a good view of the Earth. You can even make out some small groups of buildings on the surface when the weather is right. You ever done that?
They've never really given it much thought. No one really bothers about the Earth anymore, do they?
Well, except as a place to drop the misfits of society. Incidentally, Newsom, ever wonder why we drop the misfits back to Earth?
What's there to wonder about? It's the only real alternative to keeping them in other institutions at our expense.
Still, I've known people to argue we never should have abandoned the Earth. They claim it's richer in natural resources than all the other planets combined.
Well, in a way it would be more merciful to kill these misfits, rather than drop them onto a radioactive planet where...
What's the matter, Newsom?
I've just got an unpleasant idea. Is it possible that Larry's been... dropped?
Larry? Whatever put that crazy notion into your head?
You know how people are about someone that's been dropped. You might explain Osborne's attitude.
Look here, Newsom. Your cousin is far from a misfit. There's no reasons to assume anything like that. But if he has been dropped, don't you realise it's dangerous to even discuss it?
I know that. But you're Larry's friend, and I thought that if he had been...
Never mind what you thought. If Larry has been dropped, the security service will be keeping a close watch on his friends. This table might even be wired for sound. Let's change the subject.
After that, we talked about astrogation and the big colonisation project on Sirius until the meal was over. Then I said goodnight to Matthews and left the dining room. Osborne was still behind the desk. When I asked if he'd been able to locate Captain Gaines, he just shook his head.
No one seems to have any record of his whereabouts, not even central registration.
None of this makes any sense. Osborne, can you arrange me a shuttle cab? I'm going to head out into the country.
Of course, sir.
Larry's cottage was 8 miles from the city. I took the cab to the West Lock and went the rest of the way on foot. No one had been in the cottage for weeks. That was clear from the amount of dust on the floor and on the living room table. In the kitchen I found a copy of the Forbeston newspaper. It was 3 months old. Still, when the door opened behind me, I turned around half expecting to see Larry. But instead there were two men in security service uniforms. The older and taller of the two stepped forward.
Captain Newsom, of the space freighter Ironrod?
That's right.
I'm Colonel Anders, security. This is just a check-up, Captain.
That won't be necessary. I had one when I landed at Forbeston this afternoon.
I'm afraid you'll have to submit to a secondary. We won't keep you long.
You won't keep me at all. I'm getting out of here.
I wouldn't do that if I were you, Newsom. Stop him, Lieutenant.
The gold vapour floating through the air was Venusian aridite, against which the security men were immunised. However, its effect on me was split-second fast. I was able to walk only a step or two before my muscles locked and everything went black. When I awoke, I was back in Forbeston, in the security building. My muscles were still rigid, and I was lying on a stretcher underneath the verifier, with electrodes clamped behind my ears. Above me were the gleaming mirrors, silver balls, and electronic devices of the truth machine. Colonel Anders was at my side, showing a toothy grin.
Sorry to use such drastic measures, Captain, but you left me no choice. You understand, of course, that the verifier is always accurate. When you answer truthfully, a bell will chime. If not, a buzzer will sound. Shall we start?
I have nothing to hide. Whenever you're ready.
Look up into the mirrors. Watch the silver ball spinning in its channel. Now then, what is the closest distance that you've ever approached the planet Earth?
I used to refuel at the moon. That's as close as I've ever come.
What's your opinion on the so-called drop method of eliminating the misfits of our society?
Never gave it much thought, but I don't suppose there's anything wrong with it.
Do you ever dream of wide stretches of water, such as we're told used to exist on Earth?
I used to have such dreams, but not since I was a little boy.
What were you doing in Captain Gaines' cottage this evening?
I was looking for him. Maybe you can tell me where I can find him.
Well, I'm not under the verifier. Your answers seem to be satisfactory. I'll switch off the machine.
Can I go now?
Yes, as soon as you're able to move, which will take a few more minutes yet. On your way out, stop at the bar. I'll be there. Over here, Captain. Well, how do you feel?
A little stiff in the joints, but all right considering otherwise.
Good. Here's your drink.
Now, Colonel, just why did you pick me up for a second verification?
I can't answer that.
I see. Well then, can you tell me where to find Captain Gaines?
I'm afraid not.
Because you don't know or you don't want to?
Take a word of advice, Newsom. Go to bed. Forget about Captain Gaines.
Gaines happens to be my cousin. And I quite like the chap. Why is everyone so anxious for me to forget about him?
It might be extremely unhealthy to do otherwise.
Unhealthy?
I've examined your record. You don't have a single black mark against you. Yet. You're the captain of your own ship, and if you keep your nose reasonably clean, you can look forward to a long and successful career in the merchant service. Don't do anything to put that career in jeopardy. Look, I've got to get back on duty. Good night, Captain. Try to remember my advice.
I stood there at the bar, turning Anna's advice over in my mind. He'd threatened me. A friendly threat, but a threat nevertheless. Which meant Larry's disappearance was somehow linked with the security police. But why? What had he done? Larry Gaines was the soundest man I'd ever known. If the security police had declared him a misfit, then they were the misfits, not Larry. That thought stopped me in my tracks. The first rebellious thought I'd ever had in 33 years of my existence. In our society, that just isn't done. We members of the lower classes, workers, technicians and professionals, do as we're told. When one of us attempts to think independently, he suddenly disappears. Like Larry. I left the security building. A black shuttle car was parked at the curb outside. I started to walk past it when...
Newsom, just a moment.
Oh, hello Matthews.
Can I give you a lift?
I'm just going to the club.
Oh great, get in, I'll drive you there.
Thanks.
So, what were you doing in the security building?
Having a heart-to-heart talk with Colonel Anders, under the verifier.
What sort of questions did he ask you?
Look, Matthews, you didn't pick me up by accident. What's all this about?
What did Anders want to know?
Well, he asked me what I was doing at Larry's cottage.
Go on.
He asked a couple of questions I couldn't understand. Wanted to know how close my ship had ever come to Earth. And if I ever dream about wide stretches of water. Why would he want to know about things like that?
Oh, it all ties in.
With Larry's disappearance?
With everything. Newsom, do you honestly want to know what happened to your cousin? Even though the knowledge might involve considerable danger to yourself.
Well, you seem to know, and you're still alive.
Yes, but it's only fair to warn you of what you may be getting into.
I'm sick of being warned. Anders gave me that routine a few minutes ago. All I want to do is get to the bottom of this thing.
All right. But we can't talk freely at the club. That place is crawling with security agents. We'd better go to my apartment. Here we are. Now, about Larry. You were right this afternoon. He was classified a misfit 3 weeks ago. And last week, he was dropped to Earth.
So that's it. But it doesn't add up. Larry was perfectly sane when I left Mars 3.5 months ago. To be classified as a misfit, he'd have to be rejected by 2 sanity boards, with 4 months between each board examination.
That's true for ordinary misfits. But not for classification 3K.
3K? Isn't that organised activity against the state?
It is.
Larry? In a revolutionary plot? Are you trying to kid me?
I've never felt less like joking in my life. What do you know about Earth, Newsom?
Just the usual stuff we learn in primary education. Why change the subject?
You know, of course, that Earth was almost completely destroyed 200 years ago.
Yes, but why bring it up now?
Because it's to the point. The colonies concentrated on their own expansion. First on the Moon and Mars, later on Venus, Jupiter, Saturn and Uranus. There was no point in going back to an Earth poisoned by radioactive gases, with an epidemic population. The obvious thing was to expand outward, towards other solar systems.
What does all this have to do with Larry?
I'm coming to that. For 200 years, led by the Directorate, we've been developing the planets. Not once has the Directorate permitted men to go back to Earth and find out what's been happening there.
Why should they? You yourself just admitted the Earth is a radioactive mess.
So we're told, by the Directorate. But some scientists say that Earth's radioactivity dissipated 100 years ago. They claim we're turning our backs on an unbelievably fruitful planet. This life we lead on planets inhospitable to mankind, in artificial environments, they argue that all this is insane.
They do. Until they're given the drop.
That still doesn't prove them wrong.
Look, Matthews, maybe those fellows are right. I'm not competent to judge. But you still haven't told me where Larry fits into all this.
After his accident, Larry had a lot of time on his hands. And got to thinking about this, and I encouraged him. And finally, he joined our group.
Your group? What are you talking about?
Our objective is to overthrow the Directorate. We want to go back to Earth. Larry came on board with us.
You're crazy.
Well, I'm sorry that you think that.
What makes you think you know better than the Directorate? We're improving conditions on other planets every year. Why, the new bubble up the Long Canal covers more than 40 square miles.
And I don't deny that. We've become experts at bubble building. The champion bubble builders of the universe. Yeah, we're great at creating artificial environments for ourselves. But does that really compare with living a natural life in natural surroundings?
And where are we going to do it? On Earth?
Yes.
I wouldn't be too sure about that. And what about Larry? You let him get caught over this?
It was bad luck. He and Bessemer, another of our group, had their conversation tapped by the security boys. We couldn't save them in time.
He's really gone. You're sure of that?
Yes. Our information is definite. Larry and Bessemer have been dropped on the North American continent.
So he's gone? For good?
Not necessarily. Larry is a good man. We hated losing him. And we want to get him back.
Back? From Earth?
It isn't as hard as it might sound. Misfits are generally dropped in the same spot. In an area that used to be known as New Hampshire. If someone was dropped with instructions for Larry and Bessemer, all three of them could go to a pre-arranged rendezvous where they would be picked up by a small space cruiser.
You've got a space cruiser at your disposal?
That's right.
Oh, brother, if the director ever got wind of this...
They won't. Unless you tell them.
And what makes you think I won't tell them?
Frankly, I'm gambling on your affection for Larry Gaines. I want you to be the contact man between us and him. I want you to get yourself dropped and arrange the rendezvous for our space cruiser.
You aren't asking much, are you?
If you really care for Larry, you'll do it.
Isn't there anyone else?
No.
When do you want your answer?
Right now.
All right, I'll take the job. For Larry.
Good.
How do I go about getting myself dropped?
Oh, we'll take care of that. Certain papers will be planted in your room at the club. One of our men in security will direct suspicion at you. Your room will be searched, and from then on it will be simple.
You seem to have everything pretty well worked out.
We're playing for big stakes.
Just as a matter of academic interest, if I hadn't have volunteered for this assignment, what would you have done?
Open that desk drawer.
Is this a gun?
And that's your answer, Newsome.
Things happened fast. 2 days later, my room at the club was searched. The next morning, as I was getting dressed to go out, the communicator rang. It was Colonel Anders. He wanted to see me at security headquarters. Immediately.
Sit down, Captain. Well, I must confess you certainly fooled me. After our session at the verifier the other day, I thought I could give you a clean bill of health.
Is there any reason why you should change your mind?
Well, I have three very good reasons here on my desk. First, Professor Hood's treatise on the alleged decontamination of Earth. Second, a scurrilous pamphlet put out by the group attacking the Directorate's colonization program for the planet Sirius, written by an organization which also advocates the recolonization of Earth. And third, a signed membership card in that organization, countersigned by your cousin, Captain Gaines.
Where did you get that stuff?
Your room was searched yesterday. This material was found there. Apparently you've been a member of this organization for a good many months. Just tell me this. Why did you pretend that you didn't know what happened to Captain Gaines?
Since you've got proof against me, isn't that rather obvious?
Well, we'll have to be more careful about little things like that in the future.
Speaking of the future, what are you going to do with me?
Really, Captain Newsom? Isn't that also obvious?
I'll say this for the security service. They waste no time. Within a week, I was standing before the Supreme Tribunal, hearing myself pronounced a misfit and condemned to the drop back to Earth. Then into a small room near the tribunal chamber. Anders was there, waiting for me.
Well, Captain, so we meet again. For the last time, I'm afraid.
I've been condemned to the drop. What more do you want?
Personally, I never want to see you again. But the regulations specify total recall for people like you.
You can't do that. Regulation 55 states that no one can be put under any form of interrogation that his conscious mind can't observe. The verifier is the limit.
You people certainly are good at quoting regulations. However, they don't apply to you anymore. The state has cast you out.
Resistance was useless. But a total recall would reveal my talk with Matthews. It would reveal the space cruiser and the time and place of the rendezvous. And there was nothing I could do to stop it. I followed Anders to the interrogation room. There, I received an injection of acticlimatrone. Then, following instructions, I looked up at the little silver ball whirling in its channel, and the mirrors gleaming with strange lights. I was getting dizzy, sleepy, the combined effect of the hypnotic ball and the drug. I fought with all my strength to keep awake. It was a battle I eventually lost.
Strange. It's not like Larry to clear off without leaving a message for me.
Is it possible that Larry's been dropped?
But if he has been dropped, don't you realise it's dangerous to even discuss it?
The first rebellious thought I ever had in 33 years of existence.
Our objective is to overthrow the Directorate.
We want to go back to Earth. If someone was dropped with instructions for Larry and Bessemer, all three of them could go to a pre-arranged rendezvous.
All right. I'll take the job. Larry.
Come out of it, Newsom. Wake up.
What? Is it all finished?
Yes, and I must say you've been very cooperative. I had no idea that Captain Matthews was a member of your organization as well.
He isn't. I've never heard of Captain Matthews.
Come. We know better than that. Thanks to you, we now know about the space cruiser. Which, by the way, if I were you, I wouldn't bother trying to find. I can guarantee it won't be there.
You seem to know everything.
The verifier makes mistakes now and then, as we've already seen. But the total recall method never fails.
What happens now?
Now you take a little trip. To Earth. Your escort, Lieutenant Voder, is waiting for you in the next room. Goodbye, Newsom. And should I add, good luck?
Lieutenant Voder was a big, burly fellow with nasty, bloodshot eyes. In the old days, he probably would have been the state executioner. Handcuffed to him, surrounded by security guards, I walked through the lock to the main takeoff ramp. Voder's ship was a small corvette jumper displacing about 5,000 tons. We went through the entrance lock. In the main cabin, Voder removed my handcuffs. A moment later, there was a blast of jets,
as the Corvette jumper took off.
In 3 hours, we'd reached the Earth's orbit. That gave me plenty of time to consider the situation. Matthew's scheme was ruined. When his cruiser arrived at the rendezvous, a battle fleet would be waiting. He and his group were fools, dreaming that they could ever outwit the Directorate. As for me, resettling on Earth, all I had were Larry and this fellow Bessemer, if I could find them.
Attention all hands. We are approaching Earth. All hands to stations. Stand by to fire retro jets.
All dressed up in your drop suit, eh?
Yes, I'm all set, Voder. When do I jump?
You have about 2 minutes. Any questions?
How does this suit operate?
Very simple. The jets work automatically when you leave the exit hatch. There are two of them. 10 seconds after the second jet is fired, your parachute should open, also automatically.
And if it doesn't?
Give it 5 seconds more. If it doesn't open, by then you'll be killed instantly when you hit the ground. You'll feel no pain, probably.
Thanks.
Oh, we've never had any complaints. Yet. But then again, I don't suppose we would.
Very funny. What's it like down there?
Well, some say it's good hunting territory. If you survive long enough, that is.
Do I get provisions?
You'll find them in a compartment in the back of your suit. Concentrates to last a week. And a clubbug pistol with 100 rounds. I'd try to take good care of the gun if I were you. Well, time's up. Let's go.
The exit hatch?
Right. When you're inside, I'll close this lock, and you open the outer one. The air blast and the jet should do the rest.
Okay.
Happy landing.
I sprang clear without waiting for the air blast. As I did so, the first jet went off behind me. The Corvette jumper far away. I was tumbling through space when the second jet exploded. 10 seconds now for the parachute to open. Then the thought struck me. Who would know? Or even care if the drop ended in death? Might not the Directorate feel that so swift an end was only merciful? I began counting in my head. 10 seconds passed, and I was still falling. 5 seconds more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I was still falling through space, faster and faster. I'd been right about the Directorate. Death was waiting for me below. And then, the parachute opened. My downward rush was checked. Voder had lied to me. A practical joke worthy of any executioner. Approaching the Earth, there was plenty of time to marvel at the great spreading trees, the wild flowers in the fields, the sparkling sun and the fleecy clouds in the sky. I'd never seen anything like it before. Was all this beauty contaminated by radioactive poisons? I'd soon find out. But first I had to land. As my feet scraped ground, I braced for the impact. Rolling over and over, dragged by the parachute, I struck my head against a rock. Then a second blow, and everything blacked out.
Bob, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
The voice came from way off, like a voice in a dream. I opened my eyes. A figure was bending over me. It couldn't be. But it was. It was Larry.
Easy, lad. Don't try to talk. You were unconscious when I found you. Must have taken a couple of nasty knocks to the head.
Larry, is it safe out here in the open? Isn't this place contaminated?
Smell the air. Take a deep breath of it. Go ahead, don't be afraid. Does that taste like poison?
It tastes like wine.
Airlight wine. A land of milk and honey. Welcome to New Hampshire.
But the Directorate claims this planet isn't fit for human habitation.
We have a nice little colony here. 58 of us. 59 including you. You'll like it here. There's everything on Earth that a man could wish for.
We walked to the village through flowery fields and glades of green trees. In my excitement, I'd forgotten about the failure of our plan. When Larry and I were alone in his cabin, I told him everything, starting with my first meeting with Matthews and ending with the total recall session. I was miserable. But Larry didn't seem as concerned as I'd feared.
Don't worry about it, Bob. It's all right.
All right? Don't you understand? The Directorate knows all about the rendezvous. When the cruiser reaches the Earth...
There isn't any cruiser.
What?
We don't even have a Corvette jumper. That rendezvous was only make-believe to send the Directorate off on a wild goose chase.
I don't get it. If there is no cruiser, how will you get back to Mars?
I'm not going back to Mars. This is where I intend to spend the rest of my life, and with no regrets.
But Matthews said...
Matthews lied to you. He had to. If he'd told you the truth, it would have been revealed when you underwent the total recall. We foresaw that, so there had to be another story. One that would convince you and throw the Directorate off the trail at the same time. You see, we wanted you here. We need men like you to help us build our villages.
I'm completely confused. You talk about the truth, but what is the truth, Larry?
All this. The village. The green grass. The blue sky. This wonderful planet. Our group has no intention of overthrowing the Directorate. We're just normal, happy people. Let the Directorate go on fumbling with interstellar projects. Let them spread their artificial cities over the planets. More power to them. All we ask is to live out our lives here on Earth, unnoticed and without interference. We farm our land, and our agents on the other planets pick our recruits. 90% of the people who get dropped are useful to us. Every day becomes more wonderful. Is it clearer now?
Yes. So I'm a recruit?
Sorry we couldn't warn you in advance. Any regrets, Bob?
No. No regrets, Larry. I'm going to like it here. All this is still new and strange, and yet somehow it feels like...
What?
Like home.
The Drop by John Christopher. Starred Nick Bowden as Captain Newsom. Joe Lister Yates as Matthews, George Webster as Osborne, Matthew Scott as Anders, Jason Greenwood as Voda, and Roderick Shearer as Larry. This play was directed and edited by Peter Beeston. It is copyright 2010, the Cornucopia Productions.